So I'm going to continue from where we stopped last week. We've been looking at discipleship. And last week we came to a juncture where we're looking at Acts chapter 1 verse 8. Acts chapter 1 verse 8. And the thing that I said was that in the process, in the journey of discipleship, we highlighted the fact that I believe that God wants us to know him first before we start to do things for him. And I think oftentimes when we hear about discipleship classes or things that have to do with discipleship, I don't know about you, but what used to jump to my head, and even sometimes now, is it's time to do something for God. It's time to go out. It's time to talk about Christ, so on and so forth. So those things are great, and we should do those things. But I believe that God wants us to do those things out of a place of knowing him so we can be witnesses to him and not just talk about him. All right, so this is, I believe, the eighth or the ninth installment. And we stopped at the place where we're talking about the Holy Spirit. So if we look at our main scripture for today, and which was the same thing for last week, Acts chapter 1 verse 8. Acts chapter 1 verse 8. And it says there, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So Jesus was saying something to his disciples, and we'll look at one or two things in a minute, that we have someone to help us. We have the Holy Spirit to help us. So he hasn't just said, okay, now you're getting to know me. You've known me a bit now. Time for you to go out and do things and let me know how you get on. No. God has not only asked us, brought us to the place where he wants us to know him. He also has given us someone to help us in our journey in life. Do you get what I mean? So this morning we're looking at the Holy Spirit, but I'm going to look at what I've called kind of like combining last week a bit and this week as well. The Holy Spirit in you. So if you flip back to the heading thing. So we're looking at the Holy Spirit from two perspectives here. And I'm going to make a good distinction between the Holy Spirit in you and the Holy Spirit working through you. All right. So what is it about the Holy Spirit working in us and the Holy Spirit working through us? Now, can you imagine that Jesus was about to leave after spending about 3 years with his disciples? Some of them had left their jobs. Some of them had, sacrificed so much, in quote, just to follow Christ. I mean, if they had tax issues, tax man came up to them and said, pay your taxes. They would just go to Jesus, and Jesus would say, don't worry. Just go to the lake go to River Seven, and, chuck in a line there, and that's your tax paid. And if someone was, if they were hungry and they had thousands of people to feed, they would come to Jesus and say, Jesus, we have a problem with the food supply. Jesus would say, no problem. What have you got? Fish, a bread. And he feeds everybody. Maybe someone's mother-in-law is unwell, like Peter was. He arrives at the scene. And, I mean, these guys, I believe, were having a cool time. And I believe that in their minds, they just thought, you know what? This is the life. This is the life. Life could not be better than this. I don't know how you would feel if you got a tax bill from the tax people. Let's say someone is laughing. I know you guys don't get tax bills the way you're looking. You get your council tax bill. You get all these bills at the door piled up. And you can just take that pile of bills to Jesus. Jesus, assuming Jesus was still on the earth. And he said, Jesus, this is the problem I have. And Jesus says, no problem. Go to River Seven or Seven. Depends on if you're American or British, the pronunciation. And all paid. I mean, come on. You look in your bank account, no money. You're like, oh, I'm really hungry. And Jesus is there. I mean, how would you feel? Maybe someone comes and they challenge you. And they say, who are you? What are you doing? Why are you talking about, why are you talking about God? And you just say, you know what, Jesus, these people are harassing me. And he deals with it. How would you feel? I don't know about you, but I would feel like I was on top of the world. The way I probably would walk would be slightly different. I wouldn't walk like some of our Brits do, maybe just calmly like this, which is fine. You can walk like that. But I mean, I'll be walking like so confidently to say, you know what? Bring the world and Jesus will take care of it. You know, then suddenly, Jesus now begins to tell them that, guys, I'm leaving. I'm going away. First of all, they probably will have thought, okay, maybe Jesus is going to Syria. Maybe he's going to Manchester. He'll be back next week. So they probably didn't pay too much attention to that. After a while, Jesus began to tell them, guys, I am leaving, and where I'm going, you can't come. And they begin to ask him, what do you mean, where you're going, we can't come? Then it begins to sink in a bit. And you know what's going through their mind? My goodness, my bills, my work. I've left everything to follow Christ. Who's going to look after me? Then it goes further. Jesus tells them, I'm going to be crucified. Then the big man just says, what? Crucified? Nothing like that. You will not be crucified. And gradually, things began to sink in for them that, hang on, Jesus is actually leaving. Panic set in. Jesus now had to begin to tell them, you know what, guys? Don't panic. John chapter 14:27, I will leave my peace with you. I will. And he begins to prepare them. But they're still panicked. So what did Jesus do? The same way for us. Jesus said, I'm not going to leave you guys alone as orphans, not knowing what to do next. That would not be fair. He now says, look, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to you. And the Holy Spirit will be just like me being on earth here. But he says it's even going to be better. Why? Because in the times of Christ, he had to be there physically. He had to go from place to place to help them out. But he said, the Holy Spirit is going to come and he will be with you and in you. So the restriction of Jesus being in one place at a time removed. So Jesus was saying that 24 hours of the day, another person was going to be there to help them, just like he did. The Holy Spirit. And he began to talk about the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit would explain the scriptures to them, that the Holy Spirit would take care of them. And he spoke extensively about the Holy Spirit. Because he knew that these guys, it's going to be a tough world. It's going to be a really tough one. But I don't want to leave you guys alone. So he began to talk about the Holy Spirit. Now, bringing us to today, so that's the background. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit in you and the Holy Spirit walking through you. I'll make the distinction as we go along. Now, the Holy Spirit working in us is Jesus promising and giving every single person that is born again, every believer, someone to help each and every one of us. Now, what are some of the things that Jesus said about the Holy Spirit? The first thing he said, some of the things he said about the Holy Spirit, John chapter 16, verse 3. John chapter 16, verse 3. He said, first of all, John chapter 16, verse 3. I'm not quite sure I got. Sorry, John chapter 16, verse 13. And Jesus began to say something about the Holy Spirit to every believer. He says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is to come. So we begin to see here that Jesus was saying that the Holy Spirit would guide them into all truth. That you would pick up your Bible, and as you're reading your Bible, or as you're thinking about God, the Holy Spirit will begin to explain what the Bible means. Do you understand? The Holy Spirit will begin to lead you into all truth. The Holy Spirit will begin to teach you things that you do not know. Do you know? And I give an example, I think last week or the week before, that my realization of this truth has begun to like really change my life. And I give the example that there was once I was at work, very, very crucial time for me. And I think I mentioned that the work I was doing then, at that point, very high pressure job. It was, you were given a task to do in about, let's say about 3 months. So if after the first month you came and you said, you know what, let's assume your boss is Johnny. Johnny, this thing isn't working. Johnny might say, okay, no problem. Just give it a try and, you know, see how it goes. Now, you come back 2 months later and you tell Johnny, this thing is not working. Do you know what Johnny's going to start thinking? Are we sure we've hired the right guy? Do you understand? No problem. You come back a week later to your boss, at least in my own instance, and tell him, this thing that you employed me to write and to fix is not working. Do you know what happens? The sack. Straight away. The sack. They'll just escort you and say, thank you very much. It's been nice knowing you. And you're escorted out. So I didn't want to be in that position. And this scripture came to my mind that the Holy Spirit, Jesus said the Holy Spirit will lead us into all truth. He will teach us things to come. So in that particular instance, my team, I was leading a team of about four people. I was leading a team of about four people, and what they said was, you know, these are guys I kind of like trained. They said, we have this problem. What do we do? We had been having the problem week after week, week after week, and we haven't been able to fix it. They said, what do I do? What do we do? I said, well, I don't know at this time. At one point, this scripture came to my mind, and I said, hang on. We have the Holy Spirit to help us. So what did I do? I went to the toilet at my office. I think I mentioned this last week. And I knelt down. And I said, Holy Spirit, the Bible says that you will lead us into all truth. I need to get this thing working. Please help me in Jesus' name. And I was there praying passionately. I'm not quite sure they heard me from there. No, but just really, I was in a tight spot. And suddenly I got a flash, like a thought just came to my mind of what to do. I said, really? Fantastic. I just got up. And I said, guys, no problem. I went, tap, 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 enter. It worked. Ah, they said, how did it work? What did he do? And they were relieved because everybody's job was on the line, including mine. I said, don't worry, my secret. So what am I saying here? Jesus left the Holy Spirit to help us. So it's not just when we are stuck in church. Maybe there's a scripture you want to remember. Yeah, he will help you to remember. But apart from that, the Holy Spirit is like Jesus being right by your side. Do you understand? It's the same thing as when you're studying the Bible. And as you're studying the Bible, the Holy Spirit begins to whisper in your ears. Do you know what that means? And you say, no, I don't know what that means. And he says, this is what the scripture means. This is how it applies to your life. So he says there in John chapter 16, verse 13, that the Holy Spirit will lead us into all truths. Now, Romans chapter 8, I'm just going to whiz through these things. Romans chapter 8, verse 26. It says the Holy Spirit helps us to pray. So there are times that we do not know what we ought to pray about or how we ought to pray. He says he gives us the ability. He helps us to pray. If you look at Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16. He says there that God strengthens us. He says, I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. So when you're weak, when you're tired, when you've had enough of everything, and you're like, God, what is happening? I'm worn out. Instead of reaching out for the cappuccino that will not help you too much, God says the Holy Spirit can strengthen you from inside. Do you get what I mean? Now, Acts chapter 4, verse 31. It says that the Holy Spirit also gives us boldness to preach. Acts chapter 4, verse 31. It says, after they prayed, the place that they were meeting was shaken. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and they spoke the word of God boldly. So again, when you're speaking to people about the gospel and they're harassing you. I remember there was once, oh my goodness, that we were out. We sometimes go out to Cabot Circus. We pitch our stand there and we just hand out flyers and we talk to people. And this guy came. And we had some sweets on the table. He came and he said, what are you guys talking about? You know, I said, we're just telling people about Christ, so on and so forth. He said, really? He took one sweet. Then he began to blast me. And as he was blasting me, he was eating our sweets. Can you imagine that? He said, and he began to shout, that you guys, what you're preaching is false. What you guys are just, you should do, find something better to do in Cabo Circus. Find something better to do with your lives. La, 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 la. And you know what happened that day? I don't know what had happened. I was like, really? I was like, you know, God, why is it, you know? I became a bit irate. And I was just going to say, you know what? Let me give this guy a piece of my mind. You know? And I thought, how will that's not going to be a good testimony. Pastor shouting back at somebody. Then one of you guys are walking past. And like, ah, hang on, isn't that Pastor? So that thought flashed through my mind. I said, no, let me not do that way. Then God just calmed me down. I just said, you know what? Let it go. The guy blasted and blasted and blasted. I just said, okay, no problem. Have you finished? He said, no. Blah, 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 blah. At the end, when he finished, I said, okay, thank you very much. Goodbye. I said, and he carried on. And after that, you know, I wasn't speaking back to him. He said, okay. Took a handful of sweets and left. Can you imagine? I remember that for one of our folks here as well, she came with us, I think a few weeks as well ago. And, you know, when she started coming to us to talk to people, she started on the chair first. Then she got by the stand. So she had a little taste of it the last time. And someone came to her and said, I don't believe in God. I don't think the person took sweets though and left. But what happens in that scenario? The Holy Spirit gives you the boldness. Not you. He does something in you that just makes everything wash over you like water off a duck's back. That's an American phrase, I think. You know, just nothing. Why? It's a supernatural thing. So when we see people like that harassing people who are preaching or things like that, you have two options. You can either just do it yourself, which is good, or you can just release yourself to the Holy Spirit and he will help you supernaturally. So, Acts chapter 9, verse 31. The Bible also tells us something about the Holy Spirit. It says he comforts us. He says, then the church throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria enjoyed a time of peace and was strengthened, living in the fear of the Lord and encouraged by the Holy Spirit. It increased in numbers. In the KJV version, it says comforts. Living in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. So, again, the Holy Spirit is there to encourage us. You know, when we feel a bit strung out, when we feel a bit down, yes, we can talk to a friend. Our friends can say, you know what, don't worry, things will be fine. People can encourage us, which is great. However, the Holy Spirit is there as well. It's as if Jesus comes and stands right beside you and puts his arm around you and encourages you from inside. So the Holy Spirit can comfort you as well. He does. Do you understand? Now, the last thing I want to say about the Holy Spirit in us, before I go to the next one, is Romans chapter 8, verse 16. Romans chapter 8, verse 16. It says, the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. He testifies with our spirits that we are God's children. Now, what does that mean? Has anybody ever seen God here? If you've seen God physically, can you raise up your hands? You haven't? Okay. I haven't either. So how do you know God exists? How do you know that the God that we're professing here, that we come to worship here, exists? You don't. But the Holy Spirit works in you. That you just, there's something that you just know, you might not be able to explain it. Someone says to me, how do you know God exists? Show me. Blah, 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 blah. I don't know, my friend. I can't prove God exists to you. I can try. But the truth of the matter is that for every believer, the Holy Spirit does something in your heart. And you just know that you're God's child. Yeah, there are times that you might feel distant from God. There are times you might feel, I don't even know if I'm a Christian. But if you are, the Holy Spirit is there to help you. Now, why am I saying all these things? I'm saying all these things because for every single believer, boy, girl, child, old, young, God has not left us comfortless. The Holy Spirit works in us. If you flip back to that image, He works in us. So what am I saying here? I'm saying that instead of just going through life with our own steam, instead of going through life with our own effort, why don't you and I rely on the Holy Spirit? Why don't you and I begin to communicate with the Holy Spirit? Well, it takes getting used to. So I guess the question might be, how do I do that? Well, it starts with a step. It starts with expecting that God will help you through the Holy Spirit. You know what? God knows exactly where you are. He knows exactly where I am. He knows how to get to you. So the first thing I believe is the expectation that, you know what? God is here right with me in the person of the Holy Spirit. When I'm stuck, I will turn to the Holy Spirit. When I'm not quite sure about what to do, I will turn to the Holy Spirit. And as we begin to do that, what will happen is this. You begin to notice things. You become more aware of the Holy Spirit working in you. Then you will begin to, what I call, the Bible talks about practicing. So the way it works is this. If you see something in the Bible and you have a sense that this is what it's saying, note it. When it happens, you will now be able to say, okay, hang on, this has happened. So is this the way God talks to you? With every individual, it's different. But what I'm saying is this. It begins with us expecting it, that God is with us in the person of the Holy Spirit. Do you get what I mean? So that's the Holy Spirit working in you. So Jesus was saying in the book of Acts chapter 8, 1 verse 8, but don't turn there yet, that after the Holy Spirit has been working in you, or as the Holy Spirit works in you, that's fantastic. That is great. You're beginning to know God experientially. Your life is beginning to be dependent on God. Do you understand? That's great. That's for every single one of us. We just get that automatically. Once you're born again, that's it. Nothing to do on your part at all. Just you really expecting it. Now, how about the Holy Spirit working through you? That's slightly different. The Holy Spirit working through you is different from what I've just described. What I've described now is the Holy Spirit working in you as a Christian. Everybody, once you're born again, you don't even have to pray anything about that. He's there, just waiting with you, in you. Do you understand? But when it comes to the Holy Spirit working through you, it's slightly different. Let's turn to Acts chapter 1, verse 8. I will open it today, then I will carry on next week. So the Holy Spirit working through us is different from what I've described in this, what I've described so far. He says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. This is different. Jesus begins to tell them something. He said that there is another experience that you can have. That experience is the Holy Spirit working through you. And that's what's referred to as the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, the distinction is this. In the first instance that I've described, once you're a believer, the Holy Spirit comes and He's with you. He's in you. He's working through you. He's speaking to you. He's leading you. But this is different. This is God actually walking through you to touch other people. So imagine this scenario. You know that when Jesus was around physically on the earth, He would, let me give this scenario. If, for example, just to distinguish between Jesus, the Holy Spirit working in you and through you. So the one I've described is the Holy Spirit working in me and in you. if Jesus were around and I say, Jesus, I don't know what to do about this homework that I have. Can you help me? Jesus talks to me. He says, put, if you're a mathematician or depending on what you're doing, X over Y is 0 times 4, 8, 9. Don't record that. That's Jesus talking to me physically. That's the Holy Spirit working in me. That's what I've described. Now, there's the other part of Jesus working through us, through the Holy Spirit. Now, this is the instance where Jesus is now walking about and he sees someone who is down. They don't know what to do. Or he sees someone that is unwell. What does Jesus do? We see in the Bible that Jesus goes to that person, sits with the woman by the well, and he begins to tell her, this is the story of your life. This is what happened to you, but this is what God is going to do for you. Or someone is unwell, Jesus lays hands on them and heals that person. That is God working. Now, the Holy Spirit working through you and I is the second scenario I've described, which is you being available for Jesus to, by the Holy Spirit, come on you. And it is as if it is Jesus talking to the person, working through you. Jesus speaking words through you to that person. Jesus walking through you to heal, so on and so forth. Do we get the distinction? That is the distinction that I'm making. And Jesus said that for that to happen, something has to happen. You and I have to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That is asking that the Holy Spirit will come on you to walk through you. Now, God sometimes will just, once you're saved, he does it automatically at the same time. But oftentimes, he wants us to ask. Do you get what I mean? He wants us to ask. And as we ask, something happens to you and I. The Holy Spirit will come and rest upon you and I. And that's when we begin to operate, or that's when he begins to operate through us, through the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And is it hard? Not at all. What do you have to do? Nothing. Just ask and believe that Christ, through the Holy Spirit, will walk through you. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's how it works. And I'll just give us an example. I remember that there was this, I think we had a few students then. So there was this student that came from, I don't know, is it Malaysia or somewhere? And he was sat at the back. So we're talking about the Holy Spirit walking through us. And as we're preaching, I was preaching like this, and you know, we came to the end and we're praying. You know, God now showed me that this guy had like some kind of like fracture, whatever, on his shoulder. And you know, as we do here, we just say, God, you know, heal that person that has, you know, the shoulder thing in Jesus' name. And the guy was shocked. And he came and he met me and he said, hang on, how did you know I had this? I said, I didn't know anything. It was the Holy Spirit pointing that out to you. The next week, this same guy came again. And this time, I don't know what it was that was wrong with him. And the same thing. And he said, how did that happen? I said, Holy Spirit, my friend. Do you get what I mean? So on and so forth. The Holy Spirit can work through us that way. So next week, we'll look at the Holy Spirit walking through you. How does that happen? Very easy. You know, the thing I just want to point out before I stop and we pray, I want us to put aside all the things we've watched on Christian TV concerning the Holy Spirit. What I mean by that is this. Let's look at what the Bible says and how it applies to you and I. The reason I'm saying this, and we'll pray in a minute, is this. You know, there's the general thinking that for the Holy Spirit to work through you, you have to be this man of God or woman of God. You have to be this person that, you know, you have fasted for about 3 years. Nobody has seen you. You have been on the mountain. You have been, you know, when you're walking, it's like you're walking in the air. All those things, they're good if they do that kind of stuff. But God is not complicated like that. The same way God works through any individual. He can walk through you and as powerfully through you the same way. Do you understand? So all those things that we know that, okay, you have to be this, you have to be a pastor, you have to be a prophet, that's good, but the Bible doesn't specifically say that. It can be you sat there. Do you understand? So when you come next Sunday or a few Sundays from now, we say, Brother Flo, go, please, can you go to, what's the name of that place? Hoffield. There's someone who is unwell there. Can you please go, pray for them, get them healed in Jesus' name? And when you get there, tell them about their life. Tell them what God has done. Do you understand? You can do it. And when you go, take Sister Mel. Amen. But what am I saying here? God can work through us, and He will walk through us. Very simply. There's nothing complicated about it. So this morning, let's just rise up together. And I just want us to pray.